Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. LeBron James is about to turn 37, and he put up 37 on Wednesday night, but it wasn't enough as the Lakers suffered what might be one of their most frustrating losses of the season.
Feels like we've said that before, Brian.
but this time I mean it, Andy. I really, really mean it this time.
I just want to make sure that people don't think they're at the wrong show or they're listening to an older one. This is the current one.
And if they keep this up, I'm just going to turn this car right around and drive back home. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on this edition of Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, even after really disappointing losses, especially after really disappointing losses like the one the Lakers suffered Wednesday night to the Memphis Grizzlies, 104-99. I want to let you know as well that this episode of Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Truebill. It's the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for these subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. So we'll get to LeBron's birthday, which is Thursday. Happy 37th birthday.
That would be today.
Birthday. Yes, 37th birthday to LeBron James. Some of the really remarkable stuff he's been doing over the last couple of weeks, not that it's helping the Lakers all that much. You said it in the open, Andy. It's hard to differentiate which disappointing loss you're talking about when you try to figure out the disappointing losses for the Lakers this year. But Wednesday's 104-99 loss to Memphis in Memphis, second night of a back-to-back, and the Lakers had, with 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, a 13-point lead. They had a chance to steal one, to build confidence against a good Memphis team, and kind of get one back and come back feeling really good. And when you have something that you don't expect, and it's right there for the taking, and you lose it, it kind of feels worse than never getting close to the thing you weren't supposed to have anyway.
Yeah, I mean, for nearly three full quarters, the Lakers played really well. I mean, you know, they did a lot of good things on both sides of the ball. You know, I mean, they kept Ja relatively in check for the first half of this game. I mean, he eventually became way too much for them to handle. He had 41 points. He was scoring inside and out. He had 6 3-pointers on 7 tries. He got to the line 12 times, hit 9 of them. He was a force inside. He had a critical offensive rebound despite playing with what appeared to be a hurt right shoulder that happened during the game. And, you know, I mean, he is probably my favorite young player in the game. He is so much damn fun to watch. He is
particularly
relentless
when he plays the Lakers, Andy.
I mean, look, I'm not going to say that I enjoy the results of play that well when it turns into a Laker loss, but just objectively speaking, as a huge basketball fan, huge NBA fan, Ja is incredible. He's relentless. He is fearless. You can see that even as a really young player, everybody on that team takes his cues. But, you know, over the course of the last 2 minutes of the third quarter, and then especially in the fourth quarter, you had this bad cocktail of the offense falling off a cliff. They only scored 16 points, and they missed a lot of wide-open shots. Russell Westbrook had a, in terms of, stop me if you've heard this before, a huge missed open layup in like the last two-ish minutes.
And a couple turnovers that were
of really the game. Awkward. You know, LeBron had a couple turnovers down the stretch. They just... The last possession of the game for the Lakers was straight up yakety sacks. And they just started repeatedly shooting themselves in the foot in ways that weren't just frustrating, because that is frustrating in a vacuum. It's frustrating because it's a reminder that even in this depleted state with guys in and out of the protocols, Anthony Davis still not there, working with the interim head coach, David Fizdale, who you and I both thought during this game made a few odd decisions
and we'll get to the
lineup. The Lakers, when they play at the top of their game, even in this state, are capable of hanging with good teams, but their cushion and margin for error is really small. And anything that is avoidable on their part They simply have to do that. And when they don't, when they don't, it can fall apart in a hurry.
Particularly down the stretch of games. And you're like, I will go back to the moment where I thought, you know what? I think they're going to win this game. And it was in the third quarter coming out of the break because Memphis goes in. Ja Morant hits a three at the end of the third. The Lakers have, I think they give up a 6-0 run, might have been seven, at the end of the third quarter. And what looked like it could be a double-digit halftime lead is six. And I was like, okay, well, that's a bad sign. And they come out in the third quarter. LeBron hits back-to-back threes. Or I'm sorry, back-to-back, you know, those turnaround jump shots that have become kind of money for him. And you start going. You see Malik Monk hit a couple threes on nice feeds from Westbrook. And, like, they maintain this lead. They build it up. They get up by 13. The offense wasn't perfect, but it was good enough. The defense wasn't perfect, but it was good enough. And guys were working hard, and you saw Stanley Johnson making a real impact. Darren Collison had a couple nice defensive moments. And they were doing enough. And, you know, people might look at the fourth quarter defense on Ja. They might look at, they lost this game, to me at least, Andy. They lost this game offensively.
Yeah.
And this might be perhaps why Fizdale went with Carmelo Anthony on the floor instead of, I think, Dwight Howard. And as much as you and I don't love when they go big, and I understand the offensive limitations that come with putting Dwight on the floor, whether it's Dwight or Stanley Johnson or something, Melo is just getting annihilated.
He looked in this game like he was physically just torched.
Tired.
He was tired.
As you would expect.
There were times where it looked like he was having difficulty just hanging onto the ball. You know, he was 2 of 11 from the field, 1 of 8 from behind the arc, only 5 points. I mean, a very uncharacteristic Melo game offensively. Forget whatever issues you expect with Melo defensively. You at least expect him to be able to carry the water in some ways offensively. And just, it was not there for him tonight.
Right.
And I'm
putting that less on Melo, and I think it was unfair to put him in that position.
Sure.
In that way. So, I mean, I think, you know, Fizdale didn't help, but when you're not scoring,
dude,
and you put Dwight Howard in, but you know, they had some success with Dwight and Russ in the pick and roll and all that kind of stuff.
Here's the way I look at it.
Aggressively rolling to the basket, whatever it might be, whatever lineup, they were doing themselves a disservice, I think, by having Melo out there on the floor. It was just, so I mean, like, I say that as much to emphasize the point that you're making, where against good teams, lineup decisions, which I think sometimes can be overrated, optimizing the lineup is important, and they did not do that, I think, effectively on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in some respects, to be fair to David Fizdale, when you're starting to look down some of the other options, and Talen Horton Tucker, only 4 points on 2 of 7 shooting. Talen Horton Tucker, you and I looked it up. He has not hit a 3-pointer, Brian, since he returned from the COVID protocols.
He is 0 for recovery.
And he is Ovid. He is Ovid right now.
It sounds like he's pregnant.
Well, I mean, that would explain why he can't hit a shot. I mean, it's difficult to play basketball
with child.
Yeah, while expecting. I mean,
everyone can be
Serena, you know, Serena Williams competing while pregnant. I mean, you know, there's a reason she's the GOAT.
Actually, let's talk about THT for a second, just because it's a distraction from every night talking about Westbrook and high profile failures. And look, it was a thing, you know, Russ has very loud, very important mistakes. High leverage mistakes and high leverage moments, have been a major problem, and they've been a problem for Russ all year long. But, you know, his fourth quarter numbers are not always very good, and they were bad again on Wednesday. I'm fast forwarding to the new year. You can't blame me. But no. THT, it's not that he's playing inconsistently. He's playing poorly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is not easy to come back from the protocols. It is not easy to do any of those things.
Particularly while pregnant.
Yeah. He is Ovid. But, like, you know, he's had a couple, I guess, sort of squint, and they're not bad games. But, this is problematic in a, you know, especially while guys are unavailable. And really, I think becomes we're getting back into that place where when Ariza is available, when Reeves is available, and those guys are back in the lineup and they have more options when Ellington is able to return.
AD,
all this stuff. I mean, AD is, so, you know,
sure, but some of THT's minutes sure. come from Anthony Davis's absence.
No question. You start to wonder how much he's going to be able to get on the floor. And it's just one of the things, Andy, wow. that I want to talk about. We'll get to LeBron and his 37th birthday and some of the remarkable numbers that kind of encapsulate what kind of career he's had and how long it's gone on. We'll do all of that stuff coming up next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Companies make subscriptions intentionally difficult to cancel, but Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over $100 million collectively. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
There is a lot, Andy, writing on whether or not THT develops, you know, in terms of this season. And, you know, he is a long-term project. He is, it's far too early to write him off. He's obviously talented. He's all this stuff. But like for all the, for the Lakers aren't going to look the same after the trade deadline crowd, for the people who think that they will make a move, that this year they'll pull the trigger, you can't waste another LeBron year, whatever it might be. Just a, you know, daily 5 days a week reminder, the only trade asset they have is Talen Horton Tucker.
Here's the problem, Brian. You said before that he's a long-term project, which may be true, except he's also a short-term important rotation player. Like he that signing was, unless the Lakers were truly looking forward with him in ways where they were not prioritizing a championship this season in the LeBron window as much as THT's development, which is quite frankly insane. He was meant to be an important part of this rotation. And, you know, Frank Vogel has said many times, like, that is the reason they invested in him. They believed in him. They didn't invest in him just because they figured in the 23-24 season he's going to be kicking ass. They thought he was going to be helpful right now.
Oh, yeah. All I meant by that was that he is someone who I think they believe is not going to be fully realized as a player.
Sure. I'm just saying
for you are 100%
right. I didn't mean like you didn't know that. I mean, like, that's the conundrum, is whatever his development is in the third season of his contract right now doesn't matter at all.
They put themselves in a position where they might have to rely on him a lot to be good now. And he got off to a great start after coming back from the thumb. It has been a disjoint for the whole team, but like the arc of Talen Horton Tucker over the course of this year is like even an relatively extreme version of what the Lakers have seen. He comes back, you know, he gets the thumb surgery, comes back, ends up in the COVID protocols, comes back. Like, it has not been an easy run for him, and I acknowledge that. But you know, the consistency of the third guy that they need to stay afloat while AD is out is a big issue. And it's you know, Monk looks like somebody who is kind of certainly offensively feeling more and more comfortable, you know, very smooth with his decision making, when to attack, puts himself in the right spot, is making the catch and shoot threes like we noted in the first segment, developing, really taking advantage of the opportunity, I think, to not have somebody behind him that is going to take those minutes away from him, to the point of, I think we'll keep some guys on the bench when everybody is available. And that really may include THT, but they got to find other guys, particularly, Andy, if Westbrook is not going to be elite superstar, you know, carry you through fourth quarters kinds of things, if that's a good transition into Russ.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the fourth quarter Russ carrying you question is feeling very dicey these days. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had good fourth quarters before, but the problem is you don't feel confident that it's going to be coming. Like,
right,
you know, LeBron had a couple critical fourth quarter turnovers, but you don't worry about LeBron in the fourth quarter.
And I'm pretty cool with him.
Right. And as much as we've talked about, you know, all season, the idea that Anthony Davis, you know, hasn't truly put his stamp on this team the way we've wanted to, I don't worry about him in the fourth quarter at all either.
No, you know, my biggest issue with him, tell me if you agree, my biggest issue is with Davis isn't so much how many, is he going to make lots of mistakes? Is he going you know, poop away opportunities? It's so much more than it is he going to, like you said, assert himself enough to be a factor?
Exactly. But the point being, in terms of my superstar, even if I don't think I'm going to get everything I want from Anthony Davis, I'm not worried about him out there in the fourth quarter. Russ feels like the proverbial Forrest Gump box of chocolates that you never know what you're going to get. And maybe you can get by with that when you've got LeBron and AD out there. And to some degree, Russ's role is going to be lessened by just virtue of their presences. But when Russ's importance has been elevated, because AD isn't there, and he's really the only guy that you think about, other than, I guess, if like Malik Monk is on a real bender, or maybe Anthony's just in a unconscious shooting mode. Like, he's the only guy that you really think about as even having the capabilities of taking over in the fourth quarter, and it just becomes dicey. I also think it's interesting, Brian, when you mentioned with Malik Monk and, you know, the idea of not looking over his shoulder and that benefits him, that prevents him in some ways from pressing. And one of the things that came up after this game from both Malik and from Fizdale, and this has been talked about before, is the idea of guys trying to do too much, you know, over the course of games, particularly in crunch time. And you can really feel it during this period right now where they can feel like the season is starting to slip away. You know, it's not lost yet, but it is not moving in a good direction. They know they are only going to have so many games with Anthony Davis back, with, knock on wood, everybody else around to get it going. So all of these wins become precious, and you see guys starting to do too much. And, you know, David Fizdale talked about how this team has a habit of looking for the home run play when the simple play is available. And just the idea of trusting the other guys so you don't have to do it yourself is becoming a thing for these guys. And I bring that all back to Westbrook, because Westbrook is nothing if not a guy that is willing to do that stuff in the fourth quarter. But there are times when you wonder if he's trying to do too much as well.
Well, I mean, I will say this about the whole concept of pressing to me is fascinating, because, you know, compare Monk to Westbrook. Malik Monk wants to win. He's playing for a contract. Like we've said it, Malik made a huge bet on himself.
Yeah.
Too, because he's not going to be with the Lakers next year if he plays well. Like, the only way he's back here is if he, you know, poops the bed and nothing works out, and all he's got available to him is another year, you know, 1 year contract, or he just loves it so damn much he's willing to leave $20 million on the table or something like that. And I don't think he's going to love it that much.
Nobody loves it that much.
Nobody loves it that much. But, like, you know, so Monk isn't playing free. He is not playing without pressure. I don't mean that. But we don't start every show with what did Malik do? You know, sports radio in LA doesn't start.
One guy wishes there's
a guy, you know, on YouTube, you know, the Locked On Lakers YouTube page wishes we would. But, you know, we don't start it that way. Every talk show, every whatever starts with, and Russ hears it and Russ knows it. What did Russ do? Russ is a star. We do the same thing if LeBron wasn't playing well. We spent a lot of time talking about Anthony Davis. But, and I don't want to get too deep into this because I haven't really looked at the numbers enough to really understand what's going on. But just shorthand, over the last 15 games, Westbrook's net rating in the third quarter, 15.4. Positive 15.4. Quite good. Mm-hmm. His net rating in the fourth quarter is almost minus 19. caveat, LeBron's very high in the third, also bad in the fourth, but it's not nearly as bad as Westbrook's. And it points to the fourth quarter problems that he's had. And it's got to be better. We'll talk more about a lot of this stuff, I think, on Friday's show. Getting ready for Friday's show.
A lot of bad body language from Russ after this game tonight, mm-hmm. too. He does this periodically after frustrating losses. You know, whether he played particularly badly in them or not, I think if they're just a bad loss, he goes into this mode where he gives as short of responses as humanly possible without like just going mute while playing with his phone.
Really putting him out by asking some of these questions. So we'll dive into some of these. I want to take a little more time to look at some of these numbers, you know, and really think about, you know, what we're seeing. But it is we to end on something that is perhaps not super helpful for the Lakers in a vacuum, but is also incredibly impressive. LeBron James, on the eve of his 37th birthday, scores 37 points. He goes 13 for 25. He's 8 of 14 from three-point range. He had 13 rebounds, 7 assists.
I believe, tied a career high for LeBron established a career high from behind the arc.
While I don't love the idea of LeBron taking 14 three-pointers in a game, that is not, you know, he's not Steph. It now runs his streak of 30-plus point production to 6. Mm-hmm. He has been amazing. And not just for an old guy, but it is worth pausing to talk about this, talk about his career, put some of this stuff into context. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the College Bowl season and the Pro Football Playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. Bet Online, where the games start.
I mean, obviously, Andy, winning is the thing that matters here. Winning is what LeBron plays for. He's like, I don't know how impressed he is with the, you know, I'm 37 years old and I'm still putting out, and he'll go back to all the platitudes and the cliches. You know, I take care of my body. I've been doing this for a long time. As soon as he's done with all that stuff, pretending that it's not like an impressive thing, or he's not impressed by it, that he gets into his car, he's like, God damn, I'm amazing. Like the bleep that I'm doing right now is unbelievable. I am awesome. Like, that's what I would do. But, you know,
here's the thing. He knows it's remarkable because he talks about, you know, he talks about playing at a high level, and he is open to admitting, not that anybody would, you know, disagree, and there's only so much sort of false modesty that you want to do, but he's very open to admitting that he is still playing at a very high level. He will concede that. And he talks about the work that goes into it. And he actually, it was in reference to John Morant, actually. He was asked a question after the loss in Memphis about, I think it was about Ja, or about young players in general. I can't recall exactly. But he talked about how everybody has the opportunity to get better each year in the league.
That was a really interesting answer. You're right.
And he said, like, look, all we do basically over the course of a season is practice, play games, go over film, you know, rest up, get our body treated. You know, you got family, you've got other stuff going on, but like, you have a large chunk of your time devoted to this craft. So in some respects, like, every opportunity for you to get better, you know, not LeBron level better, but better than you had been, to just improve, to develop new skills and new facets to your game, it's there. And 19 seasons now in, age 37, arguably the greatest player ever, LeBron's still looking for ways to get better. And you and I covered the last 10 years of Kobe's career. Kobe did that all the time. Like, there was that famous offseason summer that he spent a day working with Hakeem Olajuwon on post footwork, despite the fact that Kobe already had better post footwork than most big men, let alone any guard in the league.
Yeah.
But that was just something Kobe wanted to make even better, you know, than it already was. Like, being in the 99.7 percentile of footwork in the league, like, wasn't good enough.
Right. And the difference between Kobe and LeBron is just Kobe reached a point where his body failed and there was no amount of work. There was no amount of cunning and guile and self-improvement and literature and hyperbaric chambers and diet and whatever to overcome that. And every player reaches that point. If their will to do those things doesn't give out first, which honestly, for a lot of players is what happens, particularly, you know, the kind of the great ones who manage to stay healthy, just run out of point. It's like, I don't do this. It's a ton of work. I don't want to do it anymore. You 19 years is a long time.
Yes.
And I think we lose track of like what that means. Like, the guy's been doing it for 2 decades. And I know you actually pulled some stuff, Andy, that puts the longevity of LeBron's career in context.
Yeah. October 29th, 2003, LeBron played his first game in the NBA. At the time, the reigning MVP was Tim Duncan, 2 seasons running, and he would be dethroned during LeBron's rookie year by Kevin Garnett. So that stretches back quite a ways in and of itself. The previous year, rookie of the year, was Amari Stoudemire, who last played in the league during the 2015-2016 season. You know, great career, but it's been a while since Amari was in the league. LeBron has been all NBA every single season since the 2004-2005. He's been either first, second, or third team, assuming he stays healthy the rest of this year. I think it's a given he will make first, second, or third all NBA again.
Likely, yeah.
The last members of his draft class to make an all-NBA team were Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony for the 2012-2013 season. Dwight Howard, drafted the following year, Hall of Famer, should have been in the top 75 of all time, in our opinion, has not been all-NBA since 2013-2014. Some more stuff from sports to use.
Yeah, I'd say 17 times. 17 yes. times he's made the all-NBA team.
Yes,
running. 17.
Running.
I'm just saying, I don't care if it took a year off in one of the
okay, fair 17, enough, actually.
17 yeah. all NBA teams.
The point being, though, they were not front loaded, if that's even possible.
17.
Four days earlier, before LeBron made his debut in the NBA, the Florida Marlins beat the Yankees 4-2 to win the World Series. Your World Series MVP, Josh Beckett, who pitched a 9-inning shutout in that final game six.
That was a good game.
The eventual Super Bowl champs for that 2003 season were, as always, the Patriots. They beat a Panthers team quarterbacked by Jake Delhomme. 2 weeks before LeBron made his debut, Steve Bartman deflected a ball in the stands from Moises Alou, vilified for years as the reason that the Cubs lost the NLCS and the Cubs curse continued. It really was, in retrospect, very unfair to Steve Bartman. But again, that was a while ago. That's when LeBron began his career.
And it's, you know, and you've talked a lot about the mileage and the longevity and all these other things. LeBron has been in the top 20 in the NBA in minutes per game 16 times.
Oh my God, I didn't actually know.
15 times he's been in the top top 15 for minutes played. It's not like you would expect. He's, you know, when you start to talk about guys who have been, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time, you expect, I'm not impressed that he's in the top 20 for like scoring every. It's not the amount of seasons, like percentage wise in his career. It's that he's 17 seasons in the top 20 in field goals. You know, I'm I'm just literally bouncing around his basketball reference page. 16 seasons in the top 20 in assists, 16 seasons in the top 20 in points per game, 17 in the top 20 in total points, 24 all league nominations. He's won 46 monthly awards, including player of the month and player of the week. It's the fact, like, 16, 17, 14, 15 seasons of this elite level performance in a career and in a profession where if you can get to a decade, you have done so many things right. You have beaten the odds in so many ways. And what I think, and you know, this is the last point I really want to make here on it, is that what I always find amazing about LeBron, and we've kind of become numb to it, I think, in some ways, is when you go back and you look at the hype that he came into the league with, mm-hmm. where he was expected to be an MVP, expected to win titles, expected to be one of the greatest players of all time, and has not only met those expectations, he has exceeded them, I think, fairly widely. That to me is incredible.
Exceeded him.
But the expectation was that he was going to be one of the greatest of all time, and he's actually cleared that bar by a mile, and that to me is incredible. And by the way, he's done it almost largely free of any real controversy. I still think the decision is the most controversial moment, and in today's media environment, that media moment looks very different. That's all I have to say about LeBron. I marvel at him in many of the same ways that I would marvel at the things that Kobe did, and we should appreciate what it is to be able to watch him play.
A few more signposts away from sports, just again, sure. Really drive home how long he's been doing this. The number one movie of the week when LeBron made his debut, again, October 29, 2003, Scary Movie 3, the number one movie of the year that LeBron debuted in the NBA, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Ooh. Other top grossing films of the year included Finding Nemo, Elf, Bruce Almighty, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and Matrix Reloaded. I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same because there's a new Matrix out. The number one album
have been remade, I think.
Yes. The number one album of the year that LeBron made his debut, Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent, I believe his debut, 50's debut. Television shows.
It's 50 Cent.
50 Cent.
50 Cent put out his first album that year.
The shows that premiered in 2003 included America's Next Top Model, The Bachelorette, NCIS, wow. Arrested Development, 2.5 Men, and The Chappelle Show. A week after LeBron made his debut, NFL Network launched. On the day LeBron made his debut, a legal version of the Napster file sharing network relaunched as a paying service. iTunes also launched in 2003. On the day LeBron made his debut.
And now he owns like half of Apple.
I know. On the day LeBron made his debut, the original Call of Duty video game launched. And then finally, again, to put this all in perspective, George W. Bush was still in his first term as president. I'm not sure he'd even formally begun his reelection campaign.
Point being, he's been at this a while.
Yeah. To be playing at this level in that much space of time, it's unreal. So happy birthday, LeBron, because you've earned it.
All right. So from that, I'm sure we'll shift back into depressing and angry things for Friday's show as we get ready to ring out the old year and ring in the new on the final show for 2021. What a weird year it's been. Reminder to everybody to sign up. You don't really sign, you just subscribe to the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. And again, thanks for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. We will see everybody on Friday.